ग्रन्थस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणम्। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैता गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। So I welcome all of you for this evening Chetna festival, that you all have taken out such precious time. Fortunately, it has not been raining like yesterday. So the topic for today's discussion, as we all saw in the drama, is give to live. It was very wonderfully depicted by the pastime of Ranti Dev. When I was told that I have to speak on this topic, one very inspiratory story came to my mind. I don't know how many of you have heard. It's a story of one lawyer, Easy Eddie. Has anybody heard? No, then I'm sure you all would be very interested in hearing, right? Now, this is a story of a person called Easy Eddie, who was a very famous lawyer in America. He was a lawyer for a greatest mafia whose name was Al Capone. Now, it so happened that Al Capone kept on committing various crimes, and he had kind of purchased this Easy Eddie by paying him huge amount of money. He not only gave him a good money, but he gave him good mansions and anything one would desire in this material world, material luxury. Everything was provided to Easy Eddie. After some time, Easy Eddie, he was introspecting in his life that I have got everything. I provided to my family all the luxuries a man would be able to provide to his family. But somehow his heart was biting from within. He wasn't very happy. He was thinking that, imagine, you know, suppose like as a child or as a daughter, if you know that you have to give an introduction to somebody that what your father is doing. If you say my father is a lawyer for a mafia, then not a very good status, isn't it? You don't feel very proud to introduce your father like that. So he was thinking that I am not setting a good example for my son. So he decided, said only way I would be able to do that is if I somehow convict this Al Capone. And he knew very well that what would be the consequences. Because what these mafias would do, they would somehow end your life. He was knowing all that, but he decided that that's it. I have to do it to feel satisfied in my life. And he did it. And exactly the same thing happened what he was already prepared for. In no time, Al Capone sent few people and Easy Eddie was murdered. But he did not have any hankering on it or any lamentation. Now there is another personality called Bush O'Hare. He was a young gentleman who was actually a pilot for fighter planes. And he was the one who fought during Second World War. what happened was that suddenly a Japanese army attacked American ship, and few of the aircrafts who noticed, they decided to fight back to protect America. But it so happened that all those people's aircraft did not have sufficient fuel. And they knew that they will not be able to survive for a considerable amount of time. So all the aircrafts came back to their camp, and the only person who continued fighting was this Bush O'Hare. He also knew that his aircraft doesn't have a sufficient fuel. But he continued fighting. He said, in front of my eyes, I cannot see enemies attacking our ship, and I will protect till my last breath. And he did best. He damaged huge amount of Japanese army, huge ammunitions of their side, and ultimately he sacrificed his life to protect his country. Now you may wonder that why am I telling you two stories? Does it have any connection? Yes, my dear friend, there is a great connection. This Bush O'Hare was none other than the son of Easy Eddie. He saw that his father sacrificed by convicting a great mafia, and he sacrificed his life to protect the country. In fact, American government gave him so many honors, they named the airport of Chicago after his name. Chicago airport is called as O'Hare Airport. So this is what he basically, Easy Eddie, taught. What did he give? The greatest thing he gave to his son was a best example, following his own life, right? What do we see nowadays? Because of so many medias and so many materialism influencing our lives, for us, leading a life by example is not at all inspiring. In fact, I was reading one article where how it describes that life is just like a waiting room. You're seeing this man, he's just waiting. Waiting for what? Right from childhood to youth to old age. That tomorrow I will be happy. After this incident, I'll be happy. When you will see the children going to school, after some years they get really bored, you know. There's so much discipline. So much, you know, we have to be in a particular uniform. We can't do what we want. There's no freedom, no independence. College life is great, right? I think most of you are from college. Raise your hands. Whoever is going to the college and leading a free, independent life. You feel this, you can just chill out with friends. Dress up the way you want. We try to choose the college which has least compulsion in attendance. So because we think that this will give us happiness. After that you want great degrees, certificate, wanting a job in some multinational company, so many lakhs per annum package, wanting a best handsome looking husband. I remember like my grandmother used to tell when there was a time for our marriage, don't think that some Rajkumar is going to come on a white horse riding and giving you a garland. They'll give you everything what you want. Not possible. And suddenly in no time you realize that your hair starts graying. You got knee joint arthritis. Can't walk. Can't even walk from here to here. You suddenly develop the hearing loss. You just keep saying, hello, hello, but can't hear. Why? Because your nerves, the old age is setting in. And that time you realize that, my God, I'm 70 years old and what did I achieve in my life? I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and I have not got any satisfaction or peace in my mind. In fact, I forgot to live. Right? There was a BBC survey which was taken out that which people of country are the happiest and contented people. And any guess? Anybody can guess that which country must be on the top? Any guess? America, England, London, anything you can speak. Huh? Japan. Okay, any more guesses? India. Any more guesses? What? Yes, who? Yes. That's where she's. The top country was Bangladesh. Which is supposed to be quite a poor country. The top country was Bangladesh. You are seeing here a very happy and self-contented family. So it is not that by having only material possessions and luxury can we achieve the real satisfaction in our life. In fact, there was one gentleman who had gone to, we conduct lot of camps in Barsana, which is a remote village in Uttar Pradesh near Vrindavan. So we preachers only, they used to go to kind of inform people that here next week we are having a camp and make use of the facility. So they were just wondering, they were asking one gentleman that what do you work, I said, I am saying, because they will just in the evening, all the villagers, neighbors, they would sit on that khat. You know the khat? Have you seen in villages? They have those wooden frame with the threads. So they would just sit and nicely have chit chat. So say, you don't work? I said, no, we work. And one gentleman just passed a comment. He said, jisko kaam hai, usko kaam karna padta hai. That was quite a hitting statement. This devotee was surprised. He said, wow, what a statement, Jisko kaam. What is the meaning of kaam? Kaam is a Sanskrit word. Kaam means lust. Means those who want to enjoy their senses, they need to work hard. We don't have to work because we have very less necessities. Does that mean that we should not work? We should. But the principle he was trying to derive was that when we are working, whatever we are doing, we should know that in what direction we are working for and why we are working for. Suppose somebody wants to go to Calcutta. You go to VT station, you don't board any train, do you? You know that, oh, I have to go by Duronto Express or Howrah Express, which is going to lead you to Calcutta. So in our life also, it is not that we should work less, we should work more, but what we should work, why should we should work, what is the goal of our life? That is most important to know. So we should shift our paradigm. It's a very nice statement I read. From happiness derived through material possessions and opulence to happiness derived by doing some service, some sacrifice, leading a life of integrity. That is what will give you the inner happiness. There is one very nice shloka in Ishopanishad, the first verse in fact, which says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, yat kincha jagatyam jagat, tena taktena bunjita, magrit krish kasyasviddhanam. What is the translation? It says that everything, animate or inanimate, which is within this universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. And one should accept only those things which are given to him or set aside as his quota. Okay? This is my quota. This is your quota. We should accept only those things which are given to us as our quota. And we should not impinge onto others, very well knowing that this belongs to them. Right? It is said that there is enough in this world for everyone's need, but there isn't enough for everyone's greed. If we just become greedy, becoming so self-centered and absorbed that only I want, like all of us are so obsessed knowing that, no, I want this. Even if we have mobiles, we feel that, no, the new mobile has come, which has so many nice functions, I have to have it. No matter even if it costs 10,000 rupees, 15,000 rupees. No need. We should know that is it going to serve the purpose? Right? I was told when I was a college student, once Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj, he was at that time Devamrit Prabhu, used to come to preach in our hostel. And used to tell, he said, people are so crazy buying cars. But what is the function of the car? To take you or to transport you from one place to another place. So what is the function of a mobile? In emergency, to call or to receive the message. Right? So we should really be alert as to what are these material necessities or they are unnecessary necessities. Prabhupada says in this Ishopanishad first verse, a very nice example. That, very basic example. That if suppose a sugar bag is kept on a road, after 5 minutes if you go, you will see few ants. Which will come there, eat few grains, go away. Maybe some birds will come, eat few grains, fly away. But if some human being will come, what will he do? He will look. कोई देख तो नहीं रहा है ना? Pick up the whole bag and take it. 2 महीने का शक्कर हो गया. Now I don't have to buy. This is our mentality. Greedy. This is exactly called greedy mentality. And we have to definitely practice or tune ourselves to change our attitudes. It is said that I was hearing His Grace Sikshashikan Prabhu's one lecture. And he was telling that suppose A to Z alphabetical letters, if you give number wise, there are 26 alphabets. And if you add attitude, if you add the numbers, it becomes 100%. So if we change our attitude, we have 100% guarantee to be successful in life and to be satisfied in life. All of us have learnt in our school days Darwin's theory. Used to teach survival of the fittest. But what is happening nowadays? Survival of the fastest. Anybody who runs faster will come ahead. There is a general norm that if you will see, the CEOs of these big companies, they work 16 hours, 17 hours a day. Why? The more you work, the more you go ahead. The faster you do, the faster you go ahead. In fact, there was one very nice story which I heard. That there were two friends who had gone to African safari. Just for nice, they were on for an adventure trip. And what happened was, that they were nicely video shooting with the adventure outside the van. Ideally you are supposed to be within the van when you are going in a safari. Because there are wildlife, wild animals who are running free. So one lion happened to chase these two friends. They started running. As fast as they could. Suddenly after some time, one of the friend took out sports shoes. The other friend was wondering that what is he going to do, with the sports shoes. So do you think that by wearing sports shoes, you will be able to run faster than lion? Do you want to know what this friend replied? He said, no. I know that I will not be able to run faster than lion, but I will be definitely able to run faster than you. And lion needs only one of us. If lion will eat one person, he'll be satisfied and he'll stop running. Imagine, people can go to any extent. And on the contrary, I'll just give, there's another true incident which just happened 2 weeks back. Our temple brahmacharis, they had gone to a retreat in a Govardhan eco village. You all know Govardhan eco village? Many notice board you all must have seen down. It's a farm at Wada, just 2 hours from Bombay. So they all had gone there for a retreat, and with the monsoon season, few of the brahmacharis thought of having a nice time and they went for a swim in a lake over there. They were just having nice time with each other, and in some time, one brahmachari, he started struggling. He could not swim. He was drowning. The other, his fellow friend, his god brother, he saw him from far, who was quite an expert swimmer. And he saw that my friend is about to die. I mean, in no time, if he drowns, he's going to be dead. He ran, jumped in the lake, saved his friend out. And if you will see, the brahmachari who was drowning is completely hale and hearty. But the person who ran to save, do you want to know what happened to him? He was barefoot. He did not think that he should go and wear his shoes because the time was less. He ran and the passage till the lake was completely filled with huge thorns and sharp stones. He has 7 stitches on his feet. Even now, he comes to Bhaktivedanta Hospital for dressing. But he felt completely so happy by saving his friend's life. He did not bother that the thorns will hit me. It was painful. His foot was bleeding. 7 stitches means quite a deep cut, right? But he felt so much inner satisfaction that imagine within no time, if he would have thought of himself, then his friend would have gone. He would have lost his life. So when we sacrifice, we definitely get tremendous amount of peace and happiness. It is said that in giving we receive. What do we receive? We receive unlimited blessings which will give us complete, will make us feel our life worth living. Right? So, when you consider the life, the length of the life or the duration of the life, that is not in our control. Can we say how many years we are going to live? I know one of my great grandfather, he left when he was 96 years old. And I could remember as a child that every time we would go to the village to meet him, the only thing he would tell was, please pray to the Lord that take me away. Enough. I don't want to live anymore. But can we have any control on our life? No. We have to live to whatever is in our destiny. But the quality of life, that with what principles we live life, with what honesty, with what respect, with what sacrifice attitude, with what service attitude we live life, that is what counts. It is said that it is the substance of the life which counts in giving you the happiness and the satisfaction that, okay, I lived my life worth. At the time of death, if you do not have any hankering and lamentation, that is called the success of your life. Like our dear Srila Prabhupada, when he left his body, he had just established ISKCON all over the world, so many temples, so many projects, and his followers were very new at that time. So they asked that, Prabhupada, do you have any desire? Do you have any instructions for us? One sentence Srila Prabhupada said, koi ichha nahi hai. He was completely satisfied. He thought that I have done my duty. Now, the Lord will take care. The functions and the projects and everything will go on. I have to remember the Lord and end my life in this world. So there was no lamentation, no hankering. It was a very nice quote which I read. The life is like a bank account. Suppose we have an account in ICICI Bank. I have just 5,000 deposit. And if I want to withdraw 10,000 rupees, is it possible? No. So life is also like a bank account. If we have enough deposits of good qualities, then there will be good returns. in the form of peaceful departure from this world without feeling sorry. Otherwise, our life is like, as I said, you know, it is, if you describe in four words, it's a story of hurry. When we are in child, we just hurrying, sports, playing, worry, in anxiety, in middle age. Earning money, settling down, buying house, buying car, feeling sorry in old age. I didn't do anything. And worry when you leave. So it's just the story of hurry, worry, sorry, worry. So there was a very beautiful shloka in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very eye-opening session. That how every day passes, we are becoming more and more closer to death, right? Each day passes, we are becoming old. Can we buy the time back? I remember my college days. If I want to be a college girl, can I be? No. The time has gone, is gone. It's not going to come back again. Only if I take another birth, and then again study from ABCD and go to the college life, I will get the college life, right? So this shloka is a very beautiful shloka. It says, Naiva vidan kshiyamanam, jalam gada jale chara, yatha yur anvaham shayam, nara mooda kutumbinaha. It says that a fish which is swimming in increasingly shallow water, means what is happening is, this part of the Bhagavatam is basically where the autumn season is starting and the rainy season is getting over. So the heat is increasing, but the fish is not realizing that I should go more in a deep water to be safe and secured. It is still swimming in a shallow water. And what is happening? They are dying because of the heat. So what is happening? It is said that similarly a foolish family man cannot see how the time they have left to live is diminishing with every passing day. Every day our life is becoming one day shorter. So Prabhupada is explaining in this verse that it is better that we understand that we should come out of a shallow and a superficial understanding of a life and get into the deep aspect of life to be secured and safe. Right? So there is one very beautiful story of one king, I would like to say, that once one man was drowning in the ocean. And one boat came with few people, and this man was saved. So this man was very grateful. Thank you so much, you know, you saved my life. So, and to his greatest surprise, these people on the boat, they are saying that, yeah, we are saving you, and one more thing we are giving you. We are appointing you as a king of our island. This person thought, wow, jackpot. Ek to mar raha tha, I would have lost my life. Bach bhi gaya aur abhi king bana diya. So, it's about why you want to make me king. So those people said that no, we have this system. We'll make you king. You will rule the kingdom, enjoy all the kingly opulence for 1 year. And after 1 year, we will leave you in one desert where actually there is no life, and we leave people there for dying. Because they can't survive over there. That's acha interesting. So he accepts the kingdom. And as soon as he takes the power, he starts. Right from first day. He did not waste his time. He kept sending his ministers and his manpower to the desert area. And what did he do? He built completely a beautiful mansions, gardens, lakes, everything, so that after 1 year, he can continue his life there. So this is called real intelligence. If our human birth, we have been given by the Lord, whatever resources we have been given, we should use it with intelligence. If we use it with a proper intelligence, we will make our life happy in this life as well as the next life. Right? I was hearing, like, His Grace Govind Prabhu, he was mentioning that how, why animals have four legs and human beings have two hands and two legs. He said, animals, they, whatever they want, they grab. They just grab with their legs. But we have been given two hands to give. Again and again, that if we give, only then we will get that peace and happiness. Because suppose, I mean, if somebody has to just enjoy alone, you are given one big palace and you are just by yourself. Will you enjoy that? You want to share it with your friends, with the family members. So only in sharing and giving, one derives the true happiness. See here, we see that how the two hands are given for giving. Even nature gives. Even nature believes in giving. Srimad Bhagavatam says a beautiful verse. There's an entire chapter which describes around more than 10 verses glorifying a tree. Now what does tree do? Tree bears fruits. Does tree eat those fruits? No. Tree doesn't give it to its babies, baby plants. No. They are for others. Flowers, for others. From trunk you get wood, for others. By just the tree, I mean, you can see this picture, very beautiful shade. Right? For whom? For us. Right? Gives shade to us in sunny season, protects from the rain. In fact, there was one magazine where I was reading, and how once one man was resting under this tree, under one of the tree shade, and suddenly one dog came and he also sat in the shade. This man started showing, started showing the dog. And suddenly tree started speaking. He said, "My dear gentleman, this shade doesn't belong to you. It is my shade. And the dog is just sitting. It's not harming you. Then what is your problem? Why do we think everything is ours?" It really opened his gentleman's eyes that, yeah, the tree is telling true. So much we can learn from tree. So even nature believes in giving. There is one very nice example of a Dead Sea. Anybody knows what is Dead Sea? In geography, all I've learnt. In Israel, there is one river called Jordan River. It meets Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. Its water goes into two different parts. Now this Dead Sea, why it is called dead? What happens is that the water from Jordan River comes to the sea, but the sea doesn't give it to anybody. So what happens is all the water which comes gets evaporated, and what is left inside is only minerals. It contains around 30 to 40% of salt. So it cannot have any life. There is no aquatic life, there is no sea life, no animals, no plants, nobody survives in Dead Sea. Whereas the water which goes to the Sea of Galilee, from there the sea, it goes to the Mediterranean Sea, there is a beautiful life over there. So it is said that the sea also, if it doesn't give water, it is called dead. So we also, if we don't have a giving attitude, our life is as good as dead life. There is nothing worth living. So let's see what we can give. I was thinking so many things we can give, but just to kind of have some take home message and to remember, I've divided into four categories that what all things we can give. First thing we can give is our possessions. So many things we possess. It could be money, clothes, giving shelter. These are the gross possessions. right? I mean, we see that any disasters happen, how people send trucks of food, clothes, like we have had an experience of Gujarat earthquake, or just recently we have had this Chardham disaster, where so many, you know, NGOs and so many organizations will go out and help. Gujarat earthquake time, even we had sent so many trucks from Bhaktivedanta Hospital. We in fact built so many homes for people who had lost everything. So you can share your possessions. Not necessary the big people can give more money. I mean, if we talk on a practical level, you can give even a beggar something. Because when we give, our heart becomes soft. When we are going on the road, it is said, I mean, it is taught to us that we should always carry some dry prasad. Maybe a small packets of glucose biscuit. You get those packets, right? 4 or 5 in a pack. So we try to do that. We carry in our bag always. Some beggar approaches. Give them. Give them. If you have nothing, at least give them 1 rupee. Because when you give, your heart becomes soft. And if you don't give, your heart becomes very hard. Devoid of all the sentiments and compassions. Now, apart from giving gross things, we can give our care and compassion. There is again one very nice incident comes to my mind. That few years back, in Olympics, there was a racing conducted for physically crippled children. And 9 children took part. 9. And the race started. They were, definitely somebody had some problem in the leg, and they were all basically physically crippled children. So all of them started running towards the ribbon. But one child kept falling. And then he started crying. That I will not be able to get up and reach till the ribbon. So few of the children who had gone ahead, they looked behind. That our friend is falling. And there was a good, huge audience who was witnessing this race. To their greatest surprise, what happened was that all the children who had gone ahead, they all came back. They woke up this friend. They helped him to get up. And they made a chain, all of them, holding each other's hand. And they walked till the ribbon together. And all the people in the audience had tears in their eyes. That what a beautiful way of showing care and compassion. One of them could have easily gone, won the medal, gold medal or whatever. But this act touched everybody's heart. And all 9 of them were so ecstatic. So care and compassion. In a simple way, we can give care to elderly people. So many of us may have grandparents living with us in our house. We feel we have no time. We are so busy all the time. Suppose you just talk a 2-3 sentence lovingly with respect. So much satisfaction they will have. They will be so much pleased. Right? So lot of things we can give. We saw a beautiful drama of Rantidev. How he gave. He was about to actually, the last water which he drank, he could have died because he was fasting for 48 days. It's very beautifully described in Srimad Bhagavatam. But all the demigods were taking test of Rantidev, that to what extent he can be charitable. We have such one more beautiful story of Maharaj Shibi. He was also known for his charity. Once what happens is that one hawk is chasing a pigeon. Now hawks are known to eat pigeon. So both of them approach King Shibi's kingdom together. Pigeon is asking for shelter and protection, and hawk is also asking that what will I eat? If I don't eat, I will die. So Shibi Maharaj thought himself so responsible that it is his duty to protect both pigeon as well as hawk. So what he did was, he He weighed the pigeon, and whatever was pigeon's weight, he took out his own flesh and gave to the hawk. We cannot go to that extent. We don't have to imitate these great personalities. But why we describe these great personalities and the stories? To inspire us to follow their footsteps and live in principle. Live in principle. That if we see that somebody needs our help, we should reach out to them. We should reach out to them. See here, you can help. So many things you can give. We can give kindness. We can have the attitude of gratefulness. So much we have been given by God. Suppose sun God is giving us sunlight for free. Does he send us the bill? So much electricity bill for my light. We are breathing air continuously. Do we have to pay any bill? No, it's given free. These are the resources which are provided by God free. We should be very grateful, right? Listening, empathic listening, that is what we can do. Sometimes so many people want to share their heart. Should give that time. Listen. Even just simply by listening, we can reduce the opposite person's sorrow by 50%. So many acts, I have just made it in a collage form. Give, always be smiling. Doesn't cost money. But that gives a lot of happiness to others. Imagine all the time if you are with a frowning face and an angry face, how will you? It's not going to make people happy. Right? Give donation. Be nice to people. Give kindness. Be thankful. Always be thankful. So these are basically the possessions we can give. Second thing we can give is our time. Which is most precious. Right? It is said, as we said, that one moment lost cannot be purchased by millions of dollars. So time, very important. Once one child was asking his father that, Daddy, how much do you earn in 1 hour? The father just gave one tight slap to the child. The child started crying, went back. But the father started thinking that, why did he ask me that how much do I earn? Maybe something is there in his mind. So the father approached the child. He said, beta, why you wanted to know? He said, no, I just want to know. Please tell me, how much do you earn? The father replied, I earn $1,000 per hour. Huge money, right? Nowadays, dollar is 60 rupees. Huge money. So, the child said, please give me $800. He said, why? He said, no, please give. I will tell you. So, the father gave $800. The child quickly ran to his room and he had a piggy bank. In that, he had saved some money. So, he took out $200 from that. He put in a sealed envelope. 800 and 200, $1,000. He went back to his father. He said, here, Papa, $1,000. Please give me 1 hour. We don't have time for our own children, our own family members. What will we give to others? So it's very important. Like, people may be able to give donations. We can give our time. It's very important sometimes on some special days. Suppose it's a birthday. We can go to some orphanage. Distribute some sweets. There's one teacher near Patna station. Around 100 kilometers from Patna station. His name is Mr. Ajit Kumar. He every day conducts a school on a railway platform for beggars' children and those children who are beggars. He has around 30 children and he carries his own stationery, notebooks, books, everything. for those children, and he teaches them in the morning 7 to 9. Then those children start doing their work, which is begging, and this teacher goes back to his work. So this he is feeling that he is doing this a service to mankind. Because he feels that if some education he gives, tomorrow this child can have a future. So it is not that we have to do big things. For every big thing actually begins with small thing. There is one more doctor whom I know in Bhayandar. His name is Ms. Dr. Uday Vora. Once he got a patient who was basically a senior citizen, and he was left by his children. The children were not ready to take care of this old parent. And it brought such a transformation to this doctor's life that today he is sending more than 65 deserted senior citizens a tiffin cooked at his own home. So many things. If we want, it is said that if there is a will, there is a way. We may think, what I will do, you know, I am such a small person. But no. All of us, if we decide that we have a desire to do something positive, to help the society in whatever insignificant way, we will be able to achieve a great change in the society. Imagine each person gets inspired to help just one person. How much change in the world we can bring, right? So no point in talking that the government is not doing anything and the politicians are not doing anything. Things which are not in our control, there is no point in discussing that. But things which is in our control, definitely we should try to bring change, right? So this is Mr. Ajit Kumar. He is teaching on the railway platform. The third aspect is dedicating one's life to live like a missionary. And you use the word missionary and immediately the picture of Mother Teresa comes to our mind, right? Led a beautiful life to help so many poor children and leper children. But we have one Mother Teresa in Maharashtra. I don't know if you all have heard about her. You all have heard about Sindhutai? Yes? How many of you have heard? But still it's a very relevant thing, and since she's a lady who is inspiring, I'll just tell few words about her. She's Sindhutai. Just few months back she was invited to give a lecture in Royal College in Mira Road, and it was very inspiring. Because as a woman, we are always quite weak hearted. We always have a habit to just keep crying with huge amount of sorrow, as if, you know, we are the only people who have mountains of sorrow on our head. And we need so much pity. All the time, we want pity. Somebody, oh, this is what happened. And we feel very happy about it. But here is a lady, his life, what a life. When I heard about her, I was like, wow, you know. She is a girl who is basically brought up in such a poor family. When she was just 10 years old, she is married to a 30-year-old person. And when she was just 19 years old, that is the time she was pregnant for the third time. And she was thrown out by her husband. She was thrown out where? In the cow shed. Her husband actually wanted her to die. So he threw her in the cow shed. He said people will think that the cows and the bulls stamped over her, and that's why she died. So nobody will think that I am responsible. And here, this poor girl, she's thrown, but one cow, she protects her. And she actually delivers the child in a cow shed. The mother cow helps her and protects her from being beaten up by the other cows. And then she started her struggled life. She actually went to her parents, and the parents also, because of the orthodox mentality, said, no, we cannot keep you. You have come back from your in-laws' house, we cannot keep you. You take care of yourself. This girl started begging. Begging, and then she thought, because she was young, so easily she could have been exploited. She would sleep on the road, on the footpath, on the railway station. So she took shelter in Smashan. Huh? Because nobody would like to go there. Huh? We all get scared, na? Nobody goes there unless they have to go for some duty. So she started living in Smashan, and all those people who would come there to burn their bodies, they get some those rice and something to offer to the dead bodies, and they would throw here and there. And this lady will collect. I mean, if you read, you feel, is it possible that somebody can live such a kind of life? But she lived. And finally she got so tired actually that one day she decided that I should end my life, should commit suicide. So she goes with her child on the railway track to actually leave her body. And she hears somebody's cry, please help. Some small beggar child, beggar person was crying on the platform. So she thought, anyway I have to die. I have nothing else in this world. So let me help this one person and then die. So she went, she begged from here and there something, gave this person who was in need some food to eat, some, and that gave her complete transformation in her heart. This she said that there are a lot of people who need help. I am not the only one who is suffering. And she derived such tremendous amount of happiness and sacrifice and satisfaction that she started doing that. And today, she is basically in Pune. She has traveled 14 countries. She wears like this, Nawari sari. And she begs her in a pallu. That today also I am a beggar. Whatever you want, you give for my children. She has more than 1100 children. She is adopted and she is taking care of them. And now she is so old that her husband, she has been given at least more than 200 awards by government for doing such a wonderful service. And when she has been now given so many awards and she is so famous, her husband comes back. He is 80 years old and he has nobody to take care of himself. His children have dejected him and he says, you remember, I am your husband. Imagine now, which girl is going to forgive? You will feel, you get out, I don't want, right? Don't you know? I mean, we have a habit of speaking the entire past. Any smallest thing, any smallest provoking situation happens, we'll go to the entire story. You did this to me, you did that to me. But here, this lady actually forgave him. And she said, then you can stay as one of the child in our ashram. And she is actually taking care of her husband right now. So, as a lady, so much inspiration we can have from her. We can also lead a life to influence others in a positive way. And last, which is the most important thing, giving a gift of spiritual knowledge. Is the most important actually. Our dear Srila Prabhupada, actually he went to the foreign country when he was 69 year old. He went in a cargo ship. You know cargo ship? It carries only luggage. Terrible ride. He had two heart attacks in his journey. Lot of seasickness. No one to take care. When he got down, in fact, at the Boston Harbor, he did not know whether I should go to the right or should go to the left. But he had full faith in the instruction of his spiritual master. He had told him that you should go to the Western countries to give this gift of spiritual knowledge. Because people are starving of spiritual life. It is not only in the West, it's everywhere. In fact, when Prabhupada went to London, one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, you are so old. Why have you come at this stage over here? And what a beautiful answer. Srila Prabhupada said, that you Britishers, you came and ruled India for so many years. You took away everything, but you have forgotten to take one thing. And that's why I have come all the way to give. I have come all the way to give this spiritual knowledge to all of you. He used to stay awake in the night. 1 to 4, he would translate all the scriptures into English language. Imagine today we did not have any of the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita. We had to just read in Sanskrit. How many people in the audience know Sanskrit? Very good. Because I don't know, that's why I am also not raising my hand. But I feel that so much we should be grateful to Srila Prabhupada. That he wrote so many books, and those books are doing wonders. If we give this gift to others, their life will get so much benefit. In fact, once one Russian major, he got curious to read Bhagavad Gita. So his few soldiers were the follower of ISKCON. So he asked for them. Those soldiers were a little afraid that why the major is calling, you know, something. Always when your boss calls, you are a little scared, right? So those soldiers came and said, yes sir. So this major said, do you have Bhagavad Gita? I want to read Bhagavad Gita. They were jubilant. Wow, you want to read Bhagavad Gita? Yes, we can give right away. They gave Bhagavad Gita to him. And then those soldiers, they kept asking the major, so are you reading Bhagavad Gita? But this major was not reading it. Not after being asked 2-3 times, he felt so embarrassed that at least if the next time they ask me, I should say that yes, I have started reading. So he started reading only translations. So then he can say that okay, I have read few chapters, you know. Because if you read the translation and purport, you may go a little slow. So he was feeling a little shy. So he read few translations. And then when he was asked, he said, yeah, I'm reading. I finished so many chapters. So the soldiers felt very happy and satisfied. That okay, their effort of giving Bhagavad Gita is fulfilled. And then that night, this major got a dream. In the dream, Srila Prabhupada came. Imagine. A very fortunate major actually. Srila Prabhupada came in his dream and he said, my dear major, you can read purport as well. You will have a better understanding. So he was shocked. He's like, my God, these people are so powerful, my soldiers, they are making even the author come in my dream. So he started reading. So giving this book can make wonders in people's lives. The gift of spiritual knowledge. What is the essence? Srila Prabhupada said that actually we all are not this body but the eternal spirit soul. I'll just give you a small example because I'm a doctor. Suppose one patient comes with a headache. What do a layman will tell him? Take one Combiflam, one Crocin, your headache will go away. Then the moment the effect of the medicine will reduce, he will have headache again. So then he will come to a special doctor. And the doctor will thoroughly investigate that what is the root cause of this headache. Is it some brain problem? Is it some eye problem? Is it some sinus problem? What is the problem? So he will investigate, he will make a complete diagnosis and then he will treat. Okay, so giving painkiller is like a symptomatic relief. But still, we have to give. If person comes with a headache, we can't say, oh, you have a headache. So, okay, let me give you. You do CT scan, you do this thing, that thing. Aray, but what do I do right now? I mean, give me some symptomatic relief also. Right? So, both are needed. So, similarly, all the first 3 points what we discussed is basically a symptomatic relief and a helping a person on a bodily level, which is necessary. We cannot deny that. But the root cause, that why we are suffering, why everybody is suffering in this world? Because of lack of spiritual knowledge. Bhagavad Gita says very clearly that if you utilize this human birth in a way that is prescribed as a manual in Bhagavad Gita, you can be freed from the cycle of birth and death. That means you no more take birth again, and if you don't take any birth again, there is no more misery. And you can actually achieve the complete perfection. And what is the complete perfection? Loving our Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada is teaching us that the best way in this Kali Yuga to love God is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. It is said that Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva Gati Ranyata. So only by chanting the names of the Lord, we will be able to give the food or the nourishment for the soul. If we give this knowledge to others, that will be the perfection of our as well as others' lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any question, then we can take one or two questions. Yeah. Anybody has any question? Please. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Mataji, you had said that we should give a beggar even if it's a rupee. But I heard someone telling that what they use that rupee for, what action, that also will have repercussions on a karma. So could you please explain what needs to be done?
Yes, you are right. Very nice question. And suppose if we give that 1 rupee and he goes and buys cigarettes and he smokes, right? It's the wrong activity. Right. But it is said that a compassionate person takes all the risks. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he went to give the spiritual knowledge to the Western people, people used to eat meat, they used to smoke. In fact, there is one great devotee of Srila Prabhupada, his name is Shyam Sundar Prabhu. He was the first person who was actually carving the deities of Lord Jagannath. In that time, he was still so addicted to smoking. So, he had one small cigar next, between him and Lord Jagannath. So, Srila Prabhupada very compassionately and lovingly told, Shyam Sundar, why keep this one small cigar between you and Krishna? And that's it. It was very easy for Shyam Sundar Prabhu to give up that smoking. So, the essence is, that if that person smokes or does anything, in the beginning, a giver should be ready to take the karma. Because by giving, our heart will become soft. Whatever he will do with that rupee is between him and Krishna. He will learn his lesson with experience in life. But if we don't give at that moment, definitely we become hard-hearted. We keep judging everybody that, so-and-so person is not worth being given. So I will not give. Of course, we should use our intelligence and discrimination, but as far as possible, we should try to give. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Okay, one more time we'll thank Mataji by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And we have a special guest amongst us. She very regularly comes for the Cherna festival. She's Dr. Shalika Jaiswal. She's just sitting behind besides. She's associate professor in the pediatric surgery department at Nair Hospital. So also welcome her by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So, those girls who have come for the very first time for the Chetna festival, can they stand up on their places? My
got so many girls.
All right, so we would like to welcome to you all for this monthly Chaitanya festival, right? So we'll pray to Shri Radha Gopinath so that this day will be the beginning of your Krishna conscious life, and keep on coming for this festival and inspire us with your presence. We'll welcome all these girls by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Kindly be seated. If you have any questions, you can meet Mataji personally after the kirtan, right? And we have wonderful collection of books downstairs at Matchless Gift Shop, so you can have a look at them. The next Chaitanya festival will be on 10th of August 2013, and the topic is disasters, man-made or God-made. Very important topic. Just now, 1 month back, we have gone through, our people in North India, they have gone through big disaster. So we'll get many answers from this class. And the speaker is Dr. Komal Dalal. So all are invited, right? Okay. Please collect your passes. Mataji will be standing. While leaving, you can collect the passes from Mataji's, right? And we have upcoming festival, that is Janmashtami, in next month. That is on 27 August, appearance day of Lord Krishna. Just now Mataji said in her lecture that we breathe, he gives air, food, everything he gives, right? So to be grateful to him, you can come to temple on Janmashtami, right? You can attend kirtan, you can attend bhagavatam, you can do garland seva, you can donate also, right? We have donation counters also, so you can come on that day 27 and bless yourself by taking darshan of Shri Radha Gopinath. Right, so you all are invited on 27 August. So we'll be having kirtan right now. All right, and after that prasadam. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. So we'll all do kirtan for some time. As we said that chanting the holy names is the best remedy for this Kali Yuga. So please participate in this kirtan with full sincerity.